This is CBS Eye of the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs. Observing Central Asia, Gregory and I have had occasion separately over these last years to travel to Uzbekistan, for example. I've been to Azerbaijan and the South Caucasus several times. When you travel to those countries, I've been to Kazakhstan many years ago, and I've talked to the ambassador. These are nations that have been ignored by history for at least a century. And yet now, with the lifting of the Soviet boot, and what I'd have to say is a retreat of the Chinese miracle into non-transparency and self-doubt and probably a turmoil for at least another generation, what we have here is Uzbekistan, 33 million people or more, the largest population. Kazakhstan, not so many people, but vast resources. Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan, mountainous, but they're important for pipelines and railroads. And then the South Caucasus, Turkmenistan is not known to me. But all of these areas are ripe for development, Gregory. And am I too suspicious to see that Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan are having a border dispute, that Uzbekistan often has border disputes, that Kazakhstan was the center of interest for Moscow recently because of unexplained turmoil, and that Azerbaijan is under pressure from Armenia? All of this, is this accidental, Gregory, or are there voices in Moscow and Beijing who are trying to keep the Central Asian states down?
Well, there's no question that Moscow would dearly love to recover the Khanates of Central Asia that it conquered under the Tsars in the 1880s and 1890s, and which were subsumed into the Soviet Empire. And, of course, you've got a number of the Khanates which were subsumed into China, namely the Uyghur areas. So basically, these are areas all of which have proud histories of which we know little or nothing, but which were the subject, if you like, of competition in the great game of the 18th and 19th and early 20th centuries, in which Britain, operating through either India or Persia, now Iran, were trying to compete for control and influence over Central Asia with the Russians. And ultimately, we saw the Russians and then the Soviets absolutely begin to dominate with a draconian effect. Now, the five core Central Asian stands, as we keep calling them, dominated by Uzbekistan in the deep south, but the one with the most population and perhaps the most open and dynamic government of the lot. That's Uzbekistan under President Mirziyoyev has really started organizing the Central Asian states so that they could resist both Moscow and Beijing and start trading with the outside world. And to that end, they were looking for overland trade links through Afghanistan, then Pakistan, down into the Indian Ocean and the like. And that's started to become a reality until the collapse of Afghanistan in August last year, by the manner in which the U.S. withdrew its presence from the region. And that basically gave Russia, in particular, the opportunity to surge back in and essentially demand that the Central Asian states start speaking Russian as their lingua franca for the region again, whereas they'd been moving since 1991 towards having English as the second and language of the region. Now, the game is a long way from over, but the Shanghai Cooperation Organization summit on September 15, 16 saw, which was held, by the way, in Uzbekistan, in Samarkand, the romantic and beautiful city, that saw Xi Jinping of the PRC and Vladimir Putin of Russia coming together, literally attempting to dominate the region, but also having talks with other regional leaders, the Iranians and the Indians and the Pakistanis and the like, to basically extend this Moscow-Beijing domination of the entire region. And whilst what we're seeing is this new Central Asian or Eurasian strategic bloc emerging, dominated by Moscow and Beijing, what we're seeing is that this is a strategic bloc like the Warsaw Treaty Organization or like the Sino-Soviet Pact of the Cold War. This is a bloc which is comprised of members who are largely in disarray economically or socially.
We have 30 seconds, Gregory, please. 30 seconds.
But this is galvanizing as the new threat to the West, this bloc. They're hoping to see some unity, to keep the West out, and to rebuild Moscow and Beijing. And it's something that the West does not have to lose if it wishes to put in some effort.
And when we left Afghanistan, did we forfeit, yes or no?
We did. Right. And that needs to be redressed.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.